Again, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 all the way through 7. Have you ever heard of someone's job title and thought to yourself, what in the world does that person do? What if someone told you that they were an expert upsetter? That's an actual job description. Sometimes I feel like as a dad that I am an expert upsetter. But this is an actual job that describes someone who forges metal. What about a comb capper? Well, a comb capper is a fancy name for a beekeeper who works with honeycombs. What if someone told you that they were a digital overlord? Any digital overlords in the house today? Anyone know what a digital overlord is? Well, a digital overlord is a term for a qualified website manager. What about when you hear the words elder? Or the words overseer, bishop, or pastor? What comes to mind? Do you think of a guy on TV, like a televangelist, you know, asking you for money? Do you think of a guy in a suit and tie? Do you think of a guy in a robe serving communion? When we come to scriptures like the ones that we are looking at today and also next week, we might be tempted just to gloss over them. We might think to ourselves, well, these passages really don't affect me, so I'll just go on to something that's more applicable in my life. But church family, we need to understand this morning that even though these passages that we're looking at today and also next week, even though these passages refer to church leadership, we need to understand this morning that these passages do affect you greatly. They do affect you greatly. As one pastor says, we need to be reminded that church leadership affects every follower of Christ. So today, by the grace of God, I want to ask and answer the question, what is a pastor? And to approach this question this morning, I'm going to approach it like I am a guest preacher in your church. You guys okay with that? I'm going to approach it like I am a guest preacher in your church. You see, it can be highly strange, even awkward, talking about a passage of scripture that really describes yourself or your job description. As a matter of fact, someone might even maybe misconstrue this message today and say, oh, he's elevating himself or he's elevating his position. Please understand this morning that this is not at all what I am doing. You guys know by now that I believe that the best way to preach the Word of God is expositionally. That is, working our way through a book of the Bible, seeing what it says. And what that causes us to do is it causes us to have to look at passages of Scripture that we are looking at today. So today, pretend that I am a guest preacher in your church. And to illustrate this morning, you can see that I am wearing my one black jacket. Okay, I'm wearing my one black jacket. I have one jacket. I call it my funeral jacket and my wedding jacket. Okay? A lot of times, whenever we have a guest preacher, a lot of times he'll come wearing a jacket. So for the next couple of hours, okay? Just kidding, I'm not a guest preacher that's going to speak for 2 hours. But for the next few minutes, all right, indulge me on this. As I talk about what it means to be a pastor, what a pastor is, and view me as a guest preacher in your church. Again, so what is a pastor? Well, I'm glad you asked the question. And here's why I want to ask and to answer this question, what is a pastor? Here's why. I believe that it is vital for a follower of Jesus Christ to know and to understand what a pastor is. You see, biblically, a God-called pastor can and should be a great blessing in a believer's life. But on the flip side of this, one who calls himself a pastor, who is not called by God, one who is not qualified according to Scripture, one who is an imposter, again, one who calls himself a pastor, who really is not, can be a great detriment to a person's life, as he can lead many people astray, most of the time, without even knowing it. So, as a believer in Christ, it is imperative that you know what a pastor is. As a believer in Christ, it is imperative that you understand church leadership. And before we get into what a pastor is, let me explain what a pastor is not. Because in this day and age, I truly believe that there is a lot of confusion as to what a pastor is. First of all, I want us to understand this morning that a pastor is not a celebrity. A pastor is not a celebrity. Now, he might become one because others make him one, but that is not the goal for a pastor. His goal is not to be famous. His goal is to make Jesus Christ famous. As one theologian says, and I so appreciate what he says, and I think I've even shared this before, but he says, "Pastor, your job is to love your family, to preach the word, to pray, to love, shepherd, and to care for your people, to evangelize the lost, and then to die." How about that for a job description? To evangelize the lost and then to die. So the pastor is not a celebrity. He is not an entertainer. The pastor is not a comedian. He's not a showman. He's not a fashion model or a GQ model. The pastor is not a social media influencer. The pastor is not a politician. So what is a pastor? Well, in short, and we're going to look at this more in detail in just a little bit, but in short, a pastor is a shepherd of people who oversees, leads, and spiritually cares for God's local church. A pastor is a shepherd of people who oversees, leads, and spiritually cares for God's local church. Also, a few more things about pastors that we need to understand. We need to understand this morning, church family, that the role of the pastor is biblical. The role of the pastor is biblical. You see, church leadership is designed by God. The role of the pastor is not something that man made up. The role of the pastor was designed by God and is meant to bring God the glory and not the pastor. Also, we need to understand this morning that it is biblical for you to have a pastor. It is biblical for you to have a pastor. As John Stott says, he's the great theologian, he says, God intends his church to have pastors. God intends his church to have pastors. And if God intends his church to have pastors, then he intends those in the church to have a pastor. As a matter of fact, we need to understand that the entire New Testament assumes that churches will have pastors and that believers in Christ will have shepherds who look over them, who watch out for them. The writer of Hebrews says, obey your leaders and submit to them. He's talking about pastors in the church. And he says, for they are keeping watch over your souls. They are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So we need to understand that it is biblical for believers in Christ to have a church and to have pastors who are shepherding them in that church. Being in ministry now for over 19 full-time years, I've had people all throughout the years who have told me things like this. I don't go to church because. I don't go to church because, well, I can have church by myself in my home. Or I don't go to church because I have church at the lake. Or I have church in the deer woods. Or I can have church in my car. Or I have church on the sports fields or on the court. And I always want to ask them, okay, well, who is your pastor? Who are your church leaders? Who are those who are watching over your souls? Whose leadership are you following? Who is spiritually caring for you? Who is empowering you to do the work of ministry? Who is proclaiming the word of God to you? Yes, you can experience God in your home. You should. Yes, you can experience God at the lake, in the deer woods, in your car, or on the sports field. These are good things. You should experience God in these places. But we need to understand, church family, that biblically, there is no such thing as Christians without a church and Christians without pastors who are leading them and shepherding them. It's all throughout the Word of God. So, the only point we see in here is this: qualifications and instructions for pastors. Qualifications and instructions for pastors. Again, look at verse 1 where Paul says, "The saying is trustworthy, if anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task." And we need to understand, first thing this morning, this. What is an overseer? What is an overseer? Well, the word overseer that Paul uses here is the Greek word episkopē. And it is referring to one who oversees and presides over a local New Testament church. You see, the New Testament uses four different words interchangeably to describe church leadership. It uses the words overseer, bishop, elder, and pastor. And these words are all used interchangeably all throughout the New Testament. And all of these words mean the same thing. These words are used to describe those who lead the church, those who preach and teach, and those who shepherd and care for people in local churches. Also, we need to understand this about overseers, about elders and pastors. We need to understand that every time the Bible describes these positions, overseers, bishops, elders, or pastors, we need to understand that it always describes men. It always describes men. We looked at this passage of Scripture that I'm getting ready to look at, that we're getting ready to read. We looked at this passage of Scripture last week in detail. And I want to encourage you that if you were not here last week, I want to encourage you to go back and to jump on our church website and to listen to last week's message, because this passage of Scripture that I'm getting ready to read will make so much more sense to you. You'll see it in its context. So go back and listen to last week's message. But Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he said, "I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet." And in order for us to understand this scripture, again, we need to understand what Paul is not saying. So I'm going to do just a little bit of a review from last week's message. We need to understand what Paul is not saying in order for us to understand what Paul is saying. He's not saying that women cannot ever teach men. That's not what he's saying. You see, some of the greatest teachers and instructors on the planet are women. Paul is also not saying that women cannot teach the word. We see women explaining scripture in Acts 18. Paul also instructs women to teach what is good in Titus 2. And what is good? Well, what is good comes from the word of God. Also, we need to understand that Paul is not saying that all women must submit to all men. Now, the Bible does call for wives to submit to their husbands, but this simply means that wives are to follow their husbands' godly and loving leadership in the life of the home and in the life of the marriage. So Paul is not saying that all women must submit to all men. As a man and as a husband, I have zero authority over other women. Zero authority over other women. I have zero, none. I am called to love, to lead, and to shepherd my wife and family and no one else's. And this goes for all men. So when Paul says these words, "I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man, whether she is to remain quiet," again, we need to understand the context. We need to understand that Paul is writing about, he is talking about the confines of corporate worship, preaching, and church leadership. Paul is not talking about the secular world, okay? Paul is writing specifically here in these verses that we looked at last week and also today. Paul is writing specifically about church leadership. You see, biblically, based on these scriptures and other passages of scripture, the Bible calls biblically qualified men to preach, to lead, to oversee, to shepherd, and to pastor local churches. And I shared this last week, and I want to just reiterate it again. Historically, denominations that have disregarded this scripture, that have disregarded what Paul is teaching, and have ordained women as pastors or elders, have now gone so far as to ordain people from the LGBT community as pastors and elders. You see, one compromise of Scripture, just one compromise of Scripture, is a slippery slope that will lead to more compromises of Scripture. And church family, this is why it is so important for the church to be doctrinally correct. Also in Scripture, whenever you see the word elder, we need to understand this, that it is always in the plural form. It's always in the plural form. In other words, there were always more than one elder or pastor shepherding or leading a church. When elders were appointed to churches in the New Testament, more than one was always appointed. We see some examples here in Acts 14. When they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Titus 1, this is why I left you in Crete, Paul says, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. And it begs this question, why was more than one elder appointed to lead a church? Well, for many reasons. Number one, for accountability. Number two, because one man can only properly lead and shepherd so many people. And because the role of elder or pastor is not meant to be a dictatorship. As David Platt says, the picture we have in Scripture is neither a dictatorship nor a democracy. Instead, Christ entrusts elders to lead the church. Next, we need to understand this about this position that Paul is writing about, is that elders are called by God. Elders, pastors are called by God. In other words, the role of pastor, elder, is not a job that someone just wants to, you know, try their hand at. It's not a job or a role that someone campaigns for. It is a God-called role that is affirmed by a local church. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians 4, Paul says that God called some to be pastors. And notice this, look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Paul says, if anyone aspires, there's a key word, if anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires, that's another key word, he desires a noble task. And here Paul uses two different Greek words to describe the men that God is calling to pastor. Again, he uses the words aspires and desires. Aspires and desires. The word desires that Paul uses here is referring to an internal longing. It's an internal longing. In other words, this desire is something that God has placed within a man. His heart longs and desires to shepherd and to care for people, to teach and to preach God's word. And his heart longs for this. Why? Because this is something that God is calling him to do. And the word aspires refers to an outward action. An outward action. In other words, the man is going to do something about his internal desires. So taken together, these two words describe the men who God has called to pastor. Internally, he desires it because God is calling him to do it. And outwardly, he's going to go and to do something about it. He's going to get the proper training through internships and schooling. He's going to seek out mentorships from older pastors. And he's going to serve the church today without the title of pastor. He's going to serve the church today without the title of pastor, even before he becomes a pastor. One time I was serving at a church and we were looking to hire a children's pastor. This was a paid position in the life of our church. And there was a young man who was in our church, mid-20s, something like that. And one day he comes up to my pastor, and he told my pastor, he said, I would like to apply for that children's pastor position in the church. And we need to understand that at the time that this young man, he was coming to our church on a very irregular basis. His attendance was very sporadic. And also at the same time, he was not even serving anywhere in the life of our church. And my pastor, knowing all of this, he said something to him in order to test him to see what was really going on in his heart. And my pastor told this young man, he said, okay, that's great, man. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back to our children's ministry, to our children's department, and I want you to jump in and just start serving back there. Go back there and start helping out the adults, and go back there and just start serving the kids and get involved in the life of that ministry, and we'll just see what happens. We'll just see where this thing goes. And here's what's interesting, is that we never saw this young man again. We never saw this young man again. You see, God wasn't really calling this man. He just wanted a job. Because if God was truly calling him internally, he would have had the external aspiration to serve and to work out this calling. So we need to understand that pastors are called by God, and it is evident by one's internal desires and externally by one's aspirations to go and to do something about it. Next, we need to understand that the role of the pastor is a noble task. Paul says it's noble. This is noble. And the word noble that Paul uses here, it literally translates many different types of words, but beautiful, handsome, excellent, eminent, choice, surpassing, precious, suitable, commendable, admirable, useful. And church family, this is a great reminder for us this morning to never belittle the task of pastor. We need to be reminded that this role is God designed and God called, and it is noble in the eyes of God, and it should be noble in the eyes of Christians. Next, we need to understand about pastors and elders and overseers that pastors are called to lead Christ's church under the authority of Christ. Paul told the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, he says, "Pay attention, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." He says, "To care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." You see, church family, the church of God is not the pastor's church. It's God's church. It's God's church. It was purchased by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the pastor is to lead and to shepherd under the authority of Christ. We need to understand as well that pastors are called to care for Christ's church. Pastors are called to care for Christ's church. Again, notice what Paul says to the Ephesian elders. He says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock." The flock is God's church. Peter told pastors in Asia Minor, he said, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you," 1 Peter 5:2. And it begs this question, how are pastors to care for and to shepherd God's church? Well, number one, pastors care for the church by protecting the flock. And pastors protect the flock from false, bad, and incorrect doctrine. Here recently, I was explaining to a young man why it is so important for the church to understand Scripture rightly. And he could tell my heart as to, you know, I'm just so passionate about understanding the Word of God and understanding it in its original context and not to take the Word of God and to make it say something that it wasn't originally intended to say. And this young man looked at me and said, "Dude, are you OCD? Are you OCD? And I thought to myself, about the Word of God, I probably am, and that's okay. So I asked him this question. I said, "What do you do for a living?" He says, "Well, I'm an electrician." And I said, "Well, what happens if you don't do your job correctly? If you don't follow the proper procedures and instructions on wiring something back together?" And he said to me, "Well, people can get hurt." And I said, "People could even die, right?" He said, "Yeah." And I said, "This is why I'm so passionate about the Word of God. It's no different from my job." He said, I told him, "I want people to understand doctrine correctly so they don't get hurt, so that they are not led astray." So pastors, one of their main jobs is to care for the church by protecting the flock from false, bad, and incorrect doctrine. Next, pastors are to care for the church by feeding the church. Pastors care for the church by feeding the church, and this does not mean that I'm making you steak every Sunday. But pastors care for the church by feeding the church, and how do pastors feed God's church? Well, pastors feed God's church through the proper teaching, preaching, and proclamation of the Word of God. This is part of your spiritual nourishment. Paul told Pastor Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, he told him to preach the Word, to proclaim the truth of God. You see, one of the defining qualifications for a pastor is that he is able to teach. We'll see more of that in just a few moments. And now looking at our text that we just read a few moments ago, we need to understand as well that pastors are to model the character of Christ. Pastors are to model the character of Christ. And notice that as we move down through this list of qualifications, that the qualifications for pastor are more about his character than his talents. The qualification for pastor are more about his character than his talents. In other words, God doesn't care about how charismatic or gifted a pastor is. God cares more about the pastor's heart. Verse 2, we're going to work our way down these pretty quickly. Therefore, an overseer, again, what's an overseer? It's an elder, it's a pastor, one who presides over a local New Testament church. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach. This means that the pastor is to live in a way that he cannot be accused of anything. He must walk in integrity. He must be the husband of one wife. Now, we need to understand that this doesn't prohibit bachelors or even widowers from being pastors. This has more to do with the pastor's purity. It means that he is a one-woman man. Or in other words, the pastor is not going from woman to woman. He's to be sober-minded. This means that he is to be vigilant. He's watchful over his congregation. This means that he's clear-headed and can think clearly. The pastor is to be self-controlled. This has to do with priorities and decision-making. He makes wise decisions regarding himself, his family, and his church. The pastor is to be respectable. This means that the pastor is to be orderly and well-mannered. He's to be hospitable. This word hospitable, it literally translates a love for strangers. A love for strangers. In other words, the pastor is to love all people, and he is to welcome all people into his church and also into his home. Next, it says that the pastor is to be able to teach. He is to be able to teach, and this is the only qualification, notice this, this is the only qualification related to a pastor's giftedness and spiritual ability, that he is able to teach and to preach the word of God properly. And this is the qualification that differentiates pastors from deacons, as we're going to see this next week. And scripturally, the teaching and proclamation of the word is the pastor's primary responsibility. Verse 3, he's not to be a drunkard. In other words, a pastor's life is not controlled or even clouded by alcohol. He's not to be violent, but gentle. The pastor is to react to difficult situations calmly and gently. The pastor is to be gracious and considerate and peaceable. He's not to be quarrelsome. In other words, the pastor doesn't pick fights. He promotes unity within the church instead of disunity. He's not a lover of money. This means that the pastor is not to be greedy and that he is not one who covets. Verse 4, he must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. Verse 5, for if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? And this has to do with the pastor's personal life. His home has to be in order. He is to lead himself, his wife, and his children well. His family is to respect his authority and leadership in the home. You see, if a pastor cannot manage his home and personal affairs, Paul is saying that a pastor cannot manage God's church. Verse 6, he must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. In other words, before a man becomes a pastor, he must have been a Christian for some significant of time, and he is to be spiritually mature. Verse 7, Paul says, moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. In other words, Paul is saying that the pastor must be respected and well thought of by unbelievers and by those outside of the church he pastors. And we need to understand this morning that this list that Paul gives to pastors is not exclusive. You see, God expects the pastor to be everything that the Bible calls every single Christian to be. And you might be thinking this morning, man, that's a lot. I'm glad I'm not a pastor. And church family, I submit to you this morning that this list is for every believer in Christ. You're not off the hook just yet. I believe that this list is for every believer
in Christ.
Yeah, it's a non-negotiable for the pastor, but I believe that it's for every Christian as well. Talking about pastors and church and church leadership, the writer of Hebrews also says, he says, remember your leaders. He's talking about pastors, elders, overseers. He says, remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God, preaching the word of God, proclaiming the word of God. He says, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So I believe that this is a non-negotiable for the pastor. But it's also a list, I believe, that it's for every single believer in Christ to follow as well. So I was a guest preacher in your church for a few minutes, okay? I'm going to take my jacket off. Colson, can you grab this? I don't want to get it too dirty. It's my one jacket that I have. And in closing today, I just want to say that I love being a pastor. And I love being your pastor. It's by far one of the greatest blessings and joys and privileges in my life. And I would beg of you to pray for me this morning, for Jermaine, for all pastors that you know. Pray for all pastors as they strive to be and to do everything that God has called them to be. And in closing this morning, I don't want to end on pastors. I don't want to end on myself. I want us to fix our eyes on Jesus. I want us to fix our eyes on Jesus. You see, myself, and really no pastor, we're not going to get this thing right all the time. It's a pretty hefty list. We're not going to get this thing right all the time, but church family, there is one who has, and there is one who will, and his name is Jesus Christ. And I want to remind us this morning that even though pastors are not going to get this thing right all the time, they're going to fail sometimes in their shepherding, but Jesus Christ is the greatest shepherd who has ever lived. He is the perfect shepherd. He is the perfect pastor. He is the one who never sleeps. He's the one who has you in the palm of his hands. He's the one who is constantly watching over you and leading you and guiding you and shepherding you by the power of his Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is the greatest shepherd. Jesus himself said in John 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And why did Jesus go so far as to lay down his life for you? Well, Jesus did all of this to pay the penalty for sin. What is sin? It's those mistakes that we've made. The Bible says that every person has made these mistakes, myself included, pastors included. And the Bible says one sin is enough to separate us from God for all of eternity. But Jesus Christ, he came, he lived a perfect and a sinless life. He went to the cross to die on that cross as the sacrificial Lamb of God. He was placed in a grave. 3 days later, he was resurrected from that grave. Eventually, he was ascended to the Father. And the Bible says whoever believes on Jesus Christ will be forgiven of their sin. And therefore, you gain the greatest shepherd that you could ever have. And his name is Jesus Christ. So therefore, the invitation today is this. Trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of sin. If you never have trusted in Jesus, come to him today and trust in him. His arms are open wide for you today. The great shepherd, Jesus Christ. Come and fall on Jesus Christ today. He will meet you right where you are at. He will love you, forgives all of your sin, casts your sin as far as the east is from the west. Trust in Jesus if you never have. Number two, the invitation is this. Tell the world about the greatest shepherd who has ever lived. Please never leave a church service and tell the world about the greatest pastor you ever met. Leave a church service and go tell the world about the greatest shepherd who has ever lived, and his name is Jesus Christ. And then lastly, this is the invitation, may we worship Jesus. May we worship Jesus, the good shepherd.